I see the children are leaving for children's church, so hopefully the details are in the bulletin. If you are new here, follow the kids. They'll know where they're going. We sang Christ our brother. That doesn't seem right. It's a biblical concept. Actually, scriptures teach us that God sees us as he sees Jesus. And one day when Jesus comes back, we will reign with Christ. Something doesn't quite equate here, right? How God has just elevated us to righteousness because of Jesus, and we are on equal status. Christ is our brother. What a phenomenal concept. How do people talk about you when you're not there? Can you control what they say? Years ago, when one of our children was being born in the hospital, where the time for the baby has come, the doctor has been called, and the younger nurse is getting ready, and you can tell she's somewhat frantic. She's not prepared. And she says to the older nurse, "We're not ready yet. The doctor's been called. He's going to be mad at us." And the older nurse, the more experienced nurse, says, "This doctor never gets angry." Reputation. Reputation is how you can control what others say about you when you're not there. Reputation has been defined as the opinion that other people have about someone or something based on past behavior. So your first impression of someone can't be a reputation. Reputation is based on past behavior. I have owned one Dodge vehicle in my life. Based on its past behavior, I will never own another Dodge vehicle again. It had a poor reputation. In today's Google, it's very helpful when you want to do business with a certain business, when you want to buy a product. You can check reviews. What does this product, what does this person, this business, what kind of reputation do they have? We know from Scripture that reputation is worth something. Can anybody guess how much a good name is worth according to Proverbs? A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. A good reputation. We're going to talk about Timothy this morning. Timothy had a good reputation. But for you and I, we need to ask ourselves, how can I build a good reputation? Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. We'll be flipping around a little bit. Timothy is covered in numerous places. We won't cover all of it, but I want to highlight three characteristics, qualities that Timothy had and why he had a good reputation. Acts chapter 16, verses 1 to 5. Paul also came to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and the elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. This happened in Paul's second missionary journey. Paul's first missionary journey was in the year 47 or 48 AD. In Paul's first missionary journey, he would have gone through Lystra and Iconium and that region, shared the gospel, and likely Timothy and his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois would have been in the congregation, would have been in this audience, would have heard the good news. We know from 2 Timothy chapter 1 that Timothy was raised in a God-fearing home because of his mother. this passage says that his father was a Greek, an unbeliever. His mother was a believer. Possibly his father was no longer on the scene at this time. So his mother and grandmother were Jewish. They would have taught Timothy the Old Testament scriptures, pointing to the Messiah. Paul comes and proclaims the good news of Jesus the Messiah, and Timothy and his mother and grandmother believe on Paul's missionary journey the first time around. Acts chapter 16 is now Paul's second missionary journey, possibly around the year 51 AD. So about 4 years have passed, and Timothy is introduced to Paul. Just prior to this, Paul and Barnabas had their big spat. They separated ways. It was over Mark. Mark had deserted them on the first mission journey, and Paul didn't want to take Mark with, and Barnabas did, so they separated. But Paul is always looking for a younger. He's looking for someone younger who he can take on his journey and mentor and disciple and train them in becoming a disciple, a follower of Jesus who makes disciples. That's what a disciple does. So Paul's looking for someone younger. Him and Silas come to this area of Derbe and Lystra, and Timothy is introduced there. Verse 2, he was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. So Timothy would have been from Lystra. Iconium was 20 miles north, which would have been like Wormen to Hague. In those days, you didn't have vehicles. The distance traveled. His good name, his good reputation traveled 20 miles. People in Iconium were speaking well of him. And this caught the believer's attention. And this caught Paul's attention until Paul wanted to take him with. Verse 2, it says he was well spoken of. That word there means to make a declaration of facts based on firsthand experience, to witness and to testify. So suppose you witness an accident and the police come and they want to get a record of who's at fault. And so you testify, firsthand experience, what you saw. The believers here are testifying what they have seen and heard in Timothy. And the verb phrase in that word is ongoing. They kept on talking one after another about Timothy. They kept talking. He was being well spoken of. Timothy had a good reputation. How can you and I also develop a good reputation? We find out from the passages in Acts, in Paul's letters, Timothy is mentioned 6 times in the introduction. Timothy becomes Paul's closest companion, a very trusted, faithful friend and co-laborer in the gospel. How can you and I develop a good reputation? Timothy had a sincere faith. Timothy had a sincere faith. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. It's on the screen as well. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Sincere faith. To be sincere means without hypocrisy. No pretending, nothing fake, sincere. There's a legend, I'm not sure how true it is or not, back in the day when the Greeks and the Romans were making sculptures, if there were cracks, they would take wax and cover those cracks and make it look like it was perfect. So there were pottery with cracks that had been covered, and then there were, you couldn't tell, and then there were pottery with no cracks. These ones were sincere. Nothing fake about it. No hypocrisy, no pretending. Children can sniff out a phony. Children can watch their parents and tell if their parents' faith is genuine or not. Little Timothy was watching his mother and his grandmother, and they had a sincere faith, and Paul was convinced that Timothy's faith was also sincere. The faith that his mother and grandmother had, little Timothy was watching and could also catch on. Parenting can be a challenge these days, and by no means are Christian parents expected to be perfect, but to have a sincere faith. I like what Joel Beek writes in his book, Parenting by God's Promises. He says, "What children need to see is not a perfect mom or dad, and certainly not a mom or dad who never says, 'I'm sorry.' They need to see in us an unwavering commitment to Jesus Christ, an unconditional love for them, and a strong bond of love for each other as husband and wife. They need to see a mom and a dad laboring shoulder to shoulder, of whom the children can say, 'My mom and dad hate sin. They love God, and their only hope is in Christ Jesus. They want, with all that is within them, to live holy and godly lives,'" referring to their parents. "I can see it. I can feel it. I know it is true, and it is real, and I want to be like them. I want the God of my father and mother to be my God." That is sincere faith. You don't need to have it all together, but be willing to say, "I'm sorry," when you're wrong, and hate sin and love Jesus. Timothy had a sincere faith. Just to be clear what faith means. Faith is a trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation and forgiveness of sins based on his work on the cross and his resurrection. "He declares me righteous by my faith and not by my works." That being said, faith alone saves, but faith that saves is never alone. It is evidenced by good works. Timothy's good works were evidence that his faith was sincere, and he lived out his faith by offering himself as a living sacrifice because of God's mercy, not to attain it. He had already received God's mercy, and his faith was lived out because of it. I talked about before, sincere faith means without hypocrisy. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, warned about living the Christian life hypocritically. Matthew chapter 6 says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before others in order to be seen by them." So Jesus is warning about the possibility of you and I being hypocritical, having an insincere faith. Jesus said, "Don't be like the hypocrites when they pray. They pray to be seen by others. Don't be like the hypocrites when they give. They give to be praised by others. Don't be like the hypocrites when they fast. They fast to be seen by others." That would be an insincere faith. Timothy had a sincere faith, and all this pretending would have been the furthest thing from it. And that's what Paul saw and was convinced that Timothy had a sincere faith. Second, Timothy had a genuine concern for others. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. Philippians 2, 19 to 22. "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one else like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel." Timothy had a genuine concern others. Before we look at that, just look at verse 19. The translation that I have, the ESV, says, verse 20, I have no one like him. The New American Standard says, I have no one else of kindred spirit. The New King James says, I have no one like-minded. Paul and Timothy, we could say, were soulmates. That word in Greek is only used once in the New Testament, and it's used here. The New King James says like-minded. It means equal soul. Paul and Timothy were in sync. When Paul wanted a mission accomplished, he would send Timothy because he knew Timothy would do exactly what he had in mind. Timothy knew exactly what Paul had in mind. When my wife sends me to the grocery list, to the grocery store, she has no idea what I'm coming back with. We are not in sync. What I think is a good deal, or what I think she meant, is probably not what she hoped I would bring back. But here we see Paul and Timothy were very much in sync. Paul says, I have no one else like him who will be genuinely concerned for your well-being. Verse 20, genuine. How do you explain genuine? Real. Exactly what you see. Leather, it seems, has been made much of leather these days. You can have genuine leather, and then there's all other types of leather. So let's back up a little bit. There's bonded leather. Sometimes Bibles are made with bonded leather. Bonded is leather dust mixed with vinyl. Looks like leather, but it's very, very cheap leather. Then there's genuine leather. Genuine leather is only one step up from bonded leather. It's actually leather. It's the lowest quality. If you want to get a better leather, you want to get top grain leather, which is in the middle of the road. Top grain leather would be more like a fine leather store. You could find leather products there. But if you want leather, you got to look for full grain leather. This is what weapon holsters are made with, a utility belt. When you carry tools, that belt is made with full grain leather. So which leather do you want? Well, it's a little confusing. You thought you were buying genuine leather, but actually what you want is the full grain. But Timothy had a genuine concern. There's nothing fake about it. He was as real could be. This was it. His concern for others was legit. My brother Henry, when our church first started, led the VBS program. Back in the day, that was kind of like a new thing for the community. There was over 200 kids that came to VBS those first years of our church when I was a kid. By the end of the week, he knew all the kids' names. He had a genuine interest in kids. Genuine. Nothing fake about it. Real. Timothy had a genuine concern for others. That could be a good thing, but it could be not a good thing if you're trying to hide something. Because he would tell you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. But he was genuinely concerned for you. Why is that? What made Timothy stand out from others? I think this passage alludes to something in verse 21. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Not those of Jesus Christ. Timothy would not be like the others, but Timothy was concerned about Jesus Christ. And that's why he had a genuine interest in others. When you and I are concerned about Jesus Christ and his heart and his concern, we will have a genuine interest in others. How did Jesus Christ live? What did his genuine interest in others look like? We can look back at chapter 2, verses 3 to 8. Let me read Philippians 2, verses 3 to 8. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than others than your, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So we already have this mind. We need to just use it. The mind of Christ Jesus, verse 6, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Was Jesus genuinely concerned about us? Yes. And Timothy had the mind of Christ, and that's how come he had such a genuine interest in others. And actually, you and I, as followers of Jesus, doesn't Jesus say that if we want to follow Jesus, we must deny ourselves, my own interests, pick up my cross daily and follow him? By denying myself, I therefore need to have the mind of Christ and be genuinely concerned for others. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I like the way he puts it. He's talking about people interrupting us, right? Often we find I'm on the mission, I'm on a task, I have to do this, and then I get interrupted by somebody. We must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. God will be constantly crossing our paths and canceling our plans by sending us people with claims and petitions. We may pass them by, preoccupied with our more important tasks. It is a strange fact that Christians frequently consider their work so important and urgent that they will allow nothing to disturb them. Allow God to rearrange your schedule by sending people, because that's who Jesus came for. And you and I need to have the same concern that Jesus did for people who might interrupt us, because that's what the gospel's all about, people. And Timothy had a genuine concern for others. Timothy had a sincere faith. Timothy had a genuine concern for others. And Timothy was a faithful servant. Timothy was a faithful servant. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. So Timothy was a faithful servant. When Paul introduces his letter to the Philippians, he says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 19, when Paul sent Timothy and Erastus on a mission, it says, and having sent into Macedonia two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. So when Paul wanted a mission accomplished in Macedonia, he sent Timothy and Erastus. It says two of his helpers. The word is actually two of his servants. It's the verb form of what a servant does. So what does a servant do? They serve. They help. Timothy was a helper, a servant. What kind of servant was he? He was a faithful servant. Now we come back to the text in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. Faithful. What does faithful mean? There's kind of two sides to it. The first one is trustworthy. Trustworthy. I trust you. When you say something, when you're going to be on time, I trust you. When you're going to go somewhere and come back, I trust you. Trustworthy. Reliable. We want our mechanics to be reliable, to be trustworthy. I just put my car in the garage last week, and when he says I need a new water pump, I trust him. I don't know. When Paul wants to carry the gospel to Timothy, he wants Timothy to carry the gospel to the next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation. It's going to require being faithful. so that the pure gospel gets handed down generation after generation. It requires faithfulness. When Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, it says, "The things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable, trustworthy, faithful men who will be qualified to teach others also." So Paul's at the end of his life. He's in prison. He's writing Timothy a letter, and he says, "The things I've passed on to you, find faithful men who you can pass on, who they can pass on as well." But they need to be faithful. They need to be trustworthy. So the first part of faithfulness is being trustworthy, reliable. The second part is steadfastness, stick-to-itiveness. Stay the course. Don't quit. In Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia, there's a tomb of the unknown soldier. In 1921, after World War I, the remains of an unknown soldier were brought back, and this is a memorial set up to honor the soldier who had no name. Since 1948, that tomb has been guarded 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, that tomb is guarded. It's quite a ritual in accordance to the 21-gun salute. The soldiers who guard this tomb will march 21 steps, pause for 21 seconds, turn around and walk 21 steps. And this guard is changed in the summer every half hour, and the winter months every hour. And it's quite a procedure to watch. It's very meticulous. Their belts have to be cleaned, their shoes have to be shined, and their hair has to be cut, and the uniforms are pressed. But that tomb is guarded night and day, rain or hail, sun or no sun. So when Hurricane Sandy hit in 2012, that tomb was guarded. The wind gusts were 80 miles an hour, 130 kilometers an hour. Rain, sleet, that tomb was guarded. It's an example of steadfastness, stick-to-itiveness. Nothing is going to stop. That tomb will be guarded regardless of what happens. Timothy was faithful. He was reliable. He was trustworthy. But he didn't quit. He didn't quit. He was steadfast. So what gave Timothy this good reputation? He was well spoken of. People watching him, people seeing him could see that he had a sincere faith, a genuine interest in others, and he was a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. And so I think you and I sometimes might, the tendency could be to be concerned about my reputation, what people think about me. But Timothy was concerned about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And he was so focused on that task that his reputation followed after him. How can you and I have a good name? A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. But I think the more we pursue Jesus Christ and cherish his gospel and pass it on to our children, our reputation will follow. We will have a sincere faith. We will have a genuine concern for others because that's what the gospel's for. And let us be faithful servants so that when Jesus comes back or we meet him in glory, he will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the life of Timothy. Thank you for how sincere he was with his faith. God, may we have a genuine interest in Jesus Christ. Help us as parents not to be phony or fake. Our kids are watching, our grandkids are watching, that they will see that we love Jesus and we hate sin. Thank you for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ, perhaps, or maybe someone here who is not yet a child who belongs to your kingdom. Father, would you wrap your arms of love around these people? Let them know the truth of the gospel and how life-giving it is. We also thank you for those that have prepared the meal in the dining hall. We pray your blessing upon the food. We ask your blessing upon the conversations. May there be a sense of fellowship because we are the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're all welcome to attend the dining hall barbecue. It's by donation, so that means you don't need to feel guilty if you don't have any money. God bless. Have a good week.